So we have been talking about the rapture, and the rapture is the event that the Lord Jesus returns to the clouds. He does not return to the earth at that time. He returns to the clouds, and he made a promise to receive his bride. He says, if I go away, I will come again and receive you to myself. And so the Lord Jesus calls us his bride. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you are saying, I will, to the groom. And so all the legal paperwork, everything legal about the marriage is done. And the Lord gives you his promise that because we are married to him, this is an engagement time, he will come and we will be presented in marriage as a spotless bride to the Lord Jesus by the Father in heaven. But what about what happens after the rapture? And this is what we want to think about. 1 Thessalonians 4, we're in 5 now, 1 Thessalonians 4 had to do with the Lord coming in the clouds to meet us in the air, but 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about those who have not trusted the Lord who will be left behind. And I'm going to review. So this will be a good review. I hope it helps us. This is the church now. And if I were to draw this on the board, I left some things out. How could I do that? Okay. See the problem? We didn't go back to creation. We started too late. Okay, well, we're not going to go all the way. So, somewhere here, we left out the cross. The Lord Jesus goes to the cross. And at the cross, my sin is put on the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus pays for every one of my sins on the cross. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So when you think about the Lord Jesus, he paid for my sins. Jesus died for me. Is there a sin that Jesus did not pay for? No, he paid for every sin. He paid for your past, didn't he? He paid for your sins today, and he pays for your sins in the future. You know, all of my sins, when Jesus died, were in the future. So he thought about you. He had you in mind when he went to the cross. And there he made a payment, and so my sins are paid. But he didn't stay in the grave, did he? He rose from the grave, and he returned to the Father in heaven. And the Bible says, I'm going to cut his head off here, let's see. He sat down. He rose from heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. So Jesus Christ did not stay dead. Jesus Christ returned to life, didn't he? And Jesus returned to life. And so there's two parts now, isn't there? If Jesus died for my sins, every sin is paid, my sin is paid. That means no hell. If you receive Jesus as Savior, you're receiving Jesus as your payment. But then there's more, isn't there? Jesus is also your life. What good would it be if Jesus made the payment to free you from your sin, but didn't make the payment to bring you into life? And so two things happen. When you say, I will, to the Lord Jesus Christ, I will have you as my payment, you are also saying, I will have you as my life. And this is something that happens the moment you trust him. It can't happen to a baby. It happens the day we hear and understand. And so here's my two great needs. I need life. That pen needs life. And okay, that pen's here to go. I need life, and I need a payment for my sin. So, but the story is not over, is it? Because the next part is that when the Lord Jesus returned to heaven, he says, if I go away, I will send a helper. The Lord Jesus promised when he returned to heaven that he'd send someone in his place. Who did the Lord Jesus send in his place? Sent the Holy Spirit in his place, didn't he? And so the Lord Jesus Christ, in his place, sent the Spirit of God to earth. And the day he sent the Spirit of God to earth is the birth of the church. I'm going to put a building here. The church is definitely not a building, but at least it'll help us understand. So, how's that? That's a good looking church there. So when was the church born? Well, 50 days after Jesus Christ died. He sent the Holy Spirit to earth, and the Holy Spirit now is looking for a bride, winning a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what the Holy Spirit does. When you're thinking about the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit is showing you that you are a sinner. The Holy Spirit is showing you that without the Lord Jesus, you pay for your own sins, and that payment is made forever in the lake of fire. And then once the Holy Spirit, God gave the Holy Spirit to do this, it says he'll convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And so first the Holy Spirit shows me I'm a sinner. I need the Lord Jesus as Savior. And then the Holy Spirit, and he really does it through the Bible. He helps you understand what's in the Bible. And then the Holy Spirit shows you, oh, Jesus paid. And then you go, aha, if Jesus paid, I have a choice. See, this is the Holy Spirit opening your mind as you think about the Lord Jesus and you think about your sin and you're saying, if Jesus paid for this, I don't have to pay for this, and I have a choice. I choose the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And that's everything up to the day you're saved. But once you trust Jesus as Savior, the Holy Spirit has more work to do. The Holy Spirit takes you out of death, that's his job, and then he puts you into life and makes you alive. And he takes you from outside of the Lord Jesus, and he puts you in the Lord Jesus. And then he also becomes your teacher. So we're very thankful for the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't talk about himself. He talks about the Lord Jesus. He doesn't brag about himself. He brags about the Lord Jesus and lifts the Lord Jesus up. That's how the Spirit of God works. So the church is born, but now we have a problem here, because in the church, Has Jesus come yet? Jesus has not returned yet to take his bride. And it's been, 2,000 years. And the Lord Jesus, he's waiting until the last person saved trusts the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says until the fullness of the Gentiles, that means the complete number of the Gentiles, is completed. Then the Lord Jesus will get his bride. So what's happened? Well, there's your first Christian who died in the church. And what happens to the first Christian who dies? Well, he's a Christian, right? He has eternal life. And so here's his body. But immediately, where is he as a person? The Bible says to be absent, that means away from the body, is to be present with the Lord Jesus. I give you an eyeball. Okay? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord Jesus. And that's what we learned. And so every time a Christian dies, that person is in heaven. But his body is in the grave. But his spirit and his soul are in heaven with the Lord Jesus. Now we're on the page here. And so let's go from here. The church now, when a person dies, here you are, today you are a soul. That means you are a person. God gave you a body. And everyone brought a different looking body today, but it works. You also have a spirit, and your spirit allows you to communicate with God and to know God. But the moment you die, see, you have death marked here, where does your body go? Your body goes in the grave. Where does your spirit and soul go? Well, your soul, the real you, goes with your spirit to be with the Lord Jesus. And yet there are people who have not died. So the church is a big mixture. The church is a mixture of people who are alive and Christians who have died. And so pretty soon, could be today, I don't know, could be tomorrow, but it could be any moment. The Lord Jesus could return from heaven any moment. And so now look at this. Number one, the Lord Jesus, and I have him in purple here with the crown, he's going to return from heaven, but he's not coming to earth, is he? The Lord Jesus is returning to the clouds. You remember our verse from last week, that the Lord himself will descend, he will descend or come down from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And then it says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then he talks about us. And so the dead in Christ, the body will give up the grave, but the person who's in heaven, and I'll even do it on the chart, I'll do it on the chart here for us. This person is going to come down in the clouds with the Lord Jesus, and his grave is going to give him up. And you know what we call that? We call that resurrection. So the first part is Jesus comes to the clouds. The second part, only believers. This isn't all the dead. There's two resurrections in the Bible. There's a resurrection of saved people. There's a resurrection of lost people. And this is the resurrection of saved Christians. And then, what about these people who are alive? Well, that living person will be changed without dying. And that's called the rapture. And then there's a reunion. All the people who have trusted the Lord Jesus will meet the Lord Jesus in the clouds above the earth. Isn't that a pretty exciting thing? Are you happy about your future? I mean, I don't know about my future on earth. You know? I may lose my house. I may go broke. I may get rich. I don't think that's going to happen, but my future is secure, is for sure with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the future. This is the future for Christians who are alive and Christians who have died before the coming of the Lord Jesus. We have a reunion. It says, with the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So that's what we learn in 1 Thessalonians 4. But we're not going to stay in the clouds. The Lord Jesus is returning to heaven. And then the wedding. Because remember, we're the bride. You can't have a bride without a wedding. And so there's a wedding where Jesus Christ is presented with his bride to the Father, and the Father pronounces us united for eternity. And there's not dead Christians at that point. There's not living Christians who might die. Everyone has a new eternal body. And every Christian, this is only believers, and only believers after the cross. So it's a special group of believers. It's the church. It's the bride. And that group of believers will be with the Lord Jesus, eternal body, soul, and spirit. What a day. That day could happen today. And that's why I put the church soon, and there's going to be a wedding. Well, are you ready? Let me ask you one question before we go on. If you close your eyes in death today, and I hope you don't, but you open them, immediately you open them after you die, and you're somewhere, where will you be? If you cannot say for sure, then you do not have God's salvation. You see, God's salvation is receiving 100% paid gift. God's salvation is receiving the knowledge, the understanding of my sins forgiven. If you think Jesus paid for part of your sins, and your baptism pays for part of your sins, are you saved? No, because what are you trusting? Well, you're trusting your baptism. What are you going to have to get off of and trust only Jesus? Well, you have to trust Jesus. Maybe you say, I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for me and I'm a good person. I'm glad you're good. If you weren't good, where would you be? Be in jail. But being good is good, but it doesn't make you ready for God's eternal heaven. Even my good works don't make me ready for heaven. So you and I have to stop trusting our good works, and we need to come as a sinner and trust Jesus' work in the payment. And if that's the only thing you're trusting, then Jesus Christ is your Savior. So I hope there's nothing back there that you're keeping as a secret trust, because it's Jesus only when it comes to salvation. The Bible says there's just one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Have you called on that name? If you have called on the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that's not praying a prayer, that's coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, you're my Savior. Thank you for the payment. It's believing. If you've called on the Lord as your Savior, this is your Savior and this is your future. So wedding ahead. And then what's next? Oh, well, what's next is waiting. God says he's going to bring a kingdom on earth, doesn't he? And in some of our churches, we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, yes, on earth as it is in heaven. Hello. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so, built in to the sample prayer that Jesus gives to the church is the prayer that Jesus' kingdom would come to earth. You know, just because the church is here doesn't mean that one day Jesus won't rule on earth. The Bible says he will rule on earth. And the Bible says one day the Lord Jesus will put his feet on the mountain that's just east of Jerusalem. And so this is ahead, but what's in the middle? Well, what's in the middle after we leave is 7 years judgment on earth. 7 years of judgment on earth. And that's what we're going to look at today. This is the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about this. Remember this three words. That's four. Remember these four words. Day of the Lord. Because that's what's ahead. If Jesus Christ is not your Savior, and Jesus Christ would come today, you'd be sitting here by yourself, wondering what happened. And I'm telling you right now what will happen. The Bible says the next thing, the very next thing after the rapture, is the day of the Lord. We're going to learn what the day of the Lord is today. We're going to read 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11, but then we're going to look at each part of it so we understand. Also, if you have questions, like we can't say everything when we're together, right? So I'm glad to help you answer your questions and stay after and ask questions. So the next thing after that is Jesus is going to return as king, and he's having a kingdom on earth. All right, and we know that. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, here's verse 1. Now as to the times and epochs, brethren. Now first of all, we need to understand that's talking to brethren, which is brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means this message here is for Christians. Now as to the times and epochs, brothers, you have no need of anything to be written to you. I don't usually use this word epochs. Do you? That is just a funny word. It means seasons. All right? In the spring season, the trees start to put out leaves. That's an epoch. That's a season. And so the Bible is teaching here that a new season is coming. Right now we're in the season of the church. It's the season of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is looking and getting a bride for his son. And that, when the bride is gone, a new season starts. But it's not like spring, it's like winter. It's a bad season. And so this is what the first verse says, there's going to be a change in time. Time is going to advance, and then there's going to be a change in season. It's going to be an entirely new way of God working on earth. And so he says, you have no need of anything to be written to you. Well, you know what? I do. And we need to know this. So we don't understand this. That's why we're looking at it today. Here is what happens. When this season changes, when the church leaves earth, the day of the Lord begins. And here's what we have in verse 2 and 3. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. What is going to come like a thief in the night? The day of the Lord. This is not the rapture. This is not Jesus coming back in the clouds. That's daylight. What's going to happen? The Lord Jesus says, work while it is still day. For the night is coming when no man works. What happens when the light of the world in the church is taken away and the world is left in darkness with no church, no pillar and testimony of the truth? And it's darkness. And the day of the Lord will then come. What is the day of the Lord? We need to find that out from the Old Testament, or we don't understand. The Bible talks about the day of the Lord again and again and again in the Old Testament. And it's a terrible, terrible period of history. It's a terrible season. Just because it's a bad season doesn't mean it's not coming. Do you like winter? And I don't either, but guess what? It's coming. You can't stop it. Do we like the day of the Lord? No. But guess what? I can't stop it. It's coming. God's changing the times, moving the time ahead, and in that, he's advancing the season. But look at this. While they are saying peace and safety, what happens? Then what? Destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains. I have never had labor pains, but I guess they're pretty bad. I don't know. Upon a woman with child, and they will what? Not escape. The day of the Lord sounds bad, doesn't it? I'm going to show you it's worse than what Thessalonians tells you. I also want to tell you the day of the Lord is not for you if Jesus is your Savior. You may have noticed that he starts out, this is written to you. And then he says, you know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night while they are saying peace and safety. You see, he's doing this. He's saying, you, Christians, and then he's saying, they, who are not Christians, destruction is going to come on them. So he's making a contrast between his people and those who refuse to become his people. See, there's a big difference between being saved and knowing and not being saved. And that's what he's saying here. Then destruction will come upon. Is it us? No, it's them. Labor pains upon a womb with child. And who will not escape? They will not escape. So in this verse, us is the believers. And he's talking to us now while we're waiting for this to happen. Them are the people who are left behind for the day of the Lord. So I hope you have this. 1 Thessalonians 4 is the rapture. It's the day of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, it's left behind. It's the day of the Lord. It's judgment on earth. So let's think about the times and seasons. When he said the times and epochs, he's borrowing from the Old Testament. He's borrowing from the book of Daniel. You've got to read the book of Daniel. It is so exciting. You'll love it. But here's what Daniel says, and he's talking to Nebuchadnezzar. He says, it is he who changes the times and epochs. That's God the Father. He removes kings and establishes kings. He has made known, what will take place in the latter days. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21 and verse 28. You see, the book of Daniel tells us that the seasons will change until the final government, Jesus Christ's kingdom on earth, comes. And each of these changes is a change of season, and so it's a code word. It's the Lord telling us here that he's about to make a change and prepare the world for the kingdom of Christ. So in the book of Acts, so this is before the cross, right? This is before the cross. Here is after the cross, but before the Holy Spirit comes. And here's what the disciples asked the Lord Jesus. Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? And this is what the disciples wanted. They wanted the kingdom to come. And so they're asking the question, is it at this time the kingdom is coming? And what did the Lord tell them at the beginning of the book of Acts? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed in his authority. What did the Lord Jesus tell his disciples? He said, you are not in charge. The Father is in charge of appointing the seasons and moving the calendar forward. And he then told his disciples, the season now is a season of witnessing and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an age of the Spirit. This will happen. All right, so that's the times and epochs. The time is changing for the kingdom on earth in 1 Thessalonians 5. Remember the rapture message that we've quoted, I don't know, a million times. Remember the verse we've quoted a million times? Think about this one. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Even in the message that tells you Jesus could come today and you are going to leave and meet him in the clouds, it's the message that the times are advanced and the season is now changed. And what do I mean by that? The shout, of course, is the Lord calling his bride, the church, to heaven. Just like Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out. And he shouted for him by name. He didn't just say, come forth. Or every dead person in the world would have sprung out of their grave. He called Lazarus by name. At this shout, he's going to call everyone in Christ. That's from the following the cross all the way to the rapture. It's that group of people, the bride, the church. That's for us. But what about the voice of the archangel? Well, the archangel has nothing to do with the church. Michael is the one archangel who's named. And it says the voice of the archangel. Well, that's Michael, and he's in charge of standing up to protect Israel on earth. I put the verse because I wouldn't believe it unless I saw it with my own eyes. This is Daniel, again, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Now, at that time, Michael, the great prince, and he's called an archangel also, who stands guard over the sons of your people will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation. What's going to happen at the rapture? There'll be a shout. The church is going to be removed. The tribulation will immediately begin. Michael, the archangel, will stand up as the protector of Israel. Because just as there was a Holocaust in World War II, and the world tried to destroy the Jews, there's going to be a mega Holocaust to try to erase the Jewish nation from the face of the earth. And it's going to be a time of distress such as never happened or never occurred since there was a nation. And so a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. You know, the trumpet is the signal for the first fall feast in Israel. It is their call to return to the land before their Day of Atonement. The Lord Jesus died on a Jewish feast. He died on the Passover, didn't he? This was the Passover when Jesus died on the cross. That was a Jewish feast. He was raised 3 days later on the first fruits. When Jesus raised from the dead, 3 days later, it was a Jewish holiday called the first fruits. And then when he sent the Holy Spirit to earth, that was another Jewish holiday. That was the holiday of Pentecost, 50 days later. And so the Lord died on the Passover, raised that first fruit, sent the Holy Spirit at the feast of the Pentecost. All of the spring and summer feasts were over. Now what's left is the fall feasts of Israel. And the signal to begin the fall feast of Israel is the trumpet of God. In September, we have the Feast of Trumpets and Rosh Hashanah. That's a Jewish feast. So that's the signal that to Israel to regather back to the land, return to the land, and God is changing the program. So right in the rapture message, there's an indication that God will change the season. And then, when the church leaves the earth, the day of the Lord begins. And now, what is the day of the Lord? I'm quoting now verses from the Old Testament. That means Bible books that are written before the birth of the Lord Jesus, to help you see how horrible it would be to be left behind without a Savior. This is the book of Isaiah. And it says, wail. You know, wail, right? That's like cry your eyeballs out. Cry. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction. Just like 1 Thessalonians said, sudden destruction. And the day of the Lord, it'll come as destruction from the Almighty. That's God, all-powerful God. Therefore, all hands will fall limp, and every man's heart will melt. They will be terrified. Pains and anguish will take hold of them, and they will rise like a woman in what? Labor. Didn't 1 Thessalonians 5 talk about they'll be like a woman in labor? And it says they will look at one another in astonishment. You know, as much as we might talk about this, if you're left behind, you are going to be astonished. That means shocked at the day of the Lord. Why would anyone want to not, why would anyone not receive Jesus? It's a free gift. It's a free payment. And it's a new life. But if you choose not to, it says it will be burning anger to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate. That means completely wipe out the sinners from it. Now Ezekiel, another prophet, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, wail. I think I see a theme here. Wail, wail. Alas for the day. For the day is near. Even the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations. So in this, the day of the Lord is working out and preparing Israel in the land to receive their king. He's working in the nations to judge them so that the whole world will receive Jesus as king. And that's what you have here. When he says here, this is the land of Israel, this is all the nations. You see, this is a global event. This is everywhere on earth. Now we have Joel, we have two verses in Joel. He says, the day of the Lord is near, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty. And then he says, the sun will be turned to darkness. It's darkness. The moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And then we have Amos. We're just going down the Bible. This is a lot of verses, isn't it? I think God is, you don't have to remember all these verses, but just see how sincere and serious, how serious God is about what the day of the Lord is like. It says, you who are longing for the day of the Lord. Some people were saying, oh boy, I hope the day of the Lord comes because that happens before the kingdom comes. And the Lord says, I don't think you want to be here during the day of the Lord. And that's what he's saying. You who are longing for the day of the Lord, for what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you? He says, what's the point? He says, it's going to be darkness, not light. It's like when a man flees, okay? When a man runs, he's trying to escape, right? Remember our verse in Thessalonians, they shall not escape. Look at the people here trying to escape. A man flees from a lion, and a bear meets him. Wouldn't that be a bad day for you? You're running from a lion, and bang, you go head to head with a bear. And which way would you go? Would you run back to the lion? Or would you face the bear? I think it's a lose-lose situation, all right? And this is what God's saying. The day of the Lord is a lose-lose situation. And there's no escape. Or what about he goes home and you go, whew, I made it home, and he's leaning against the wall, and what happens? A snake bites you. This guy has terrible luck, doesn't he? He runs into a lion, changes his mind, hits the bear, finally he gets home, he leans against the wall, and a snake bites him. You know what I'm thinking? No escape. There's no escape here from the day of the Lord. And there's no escape. If Jesus is not your Savior, think seriously about this. If you don't know where you'll be when you close your eyes in death, then the day of the Lord is ahead. And there's absolutely no escape. Will not the day be darkness instead of light? Oh my goodness, I have another page of verses about the day of the Lord. Do you think God is serious about this? Absolutely serious. And he says, this is from Obadiah. Nobody reads Obadiah. It's one page. But in that one page, God has something to say about the day of the Lord. It says, the day of the Lord draws near for all the nations, right? It's global. It's global. As you have done, it will be done to you. In other words, your dealings will return to your head. What would you call that? It's a day of payment. Repayment. If Jesus is not your payment for your sin, God insists, because he's holy, sins must be paid. And there's a day of payment coming on earth. And you know what? That's not the end payment. There's a payment in the lake of fire for the eternal punishment of sins. Now to Zephaniah. So we only got a few more books in the Bible. The day of the Lord is near. The day of the Lord, a day of wrath. Wrath means God's anger poured out on earth. It's a day of trouble and distress. It's a day of clouds and darkness, a day of trumpet and battle cry. And so, that was exhausting. But what about you? What about us? What about the bride? If Jesus is your Savior, you're part of the bride. What about that? Well, look. In 2 Thessalonians, he says that you not be quickly shaken from your composure. That means from your calm peace. Christians, don't be shaken from your peace. Don't be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us. Paul is saying, don't believe anything but the Bible that's already written. Don't listen to people who say they have the Spirit and they're saying something different. Only believe the written word of God. And he says, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Because the day of the Lord has not come. We are not in the tribulation. No matter how bad earth is, we are not in the day of the Lord, and the bride of Christ is not going through one day of the day of the Lord. Not one day. And in the Revelation, he talks about the day of the Lord as the hour of testing. And he says, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world, the global event. He's not talking about local difficulties. He's talking about the global distress to test those who dwell on the earth. That little phrase there, dwell on the earth, is used in Revelation to indicate unsaved people who've made their home on earth instead of turning to the Lord Jesus. And I think I will stop at that point and challenge us. Because what we've seen is there's two possibilities. If Jesus is your Savior, then Jesus is going to return for us his bride. And it could be today. Are you ready? Well, you're ready if you trusted Jesus as Savior. If you choose not to trust Jesus as Savior, then this is the beginning of the payment for sin. You buy your car on time. You buy your house on time, right? You have to make a payment every month. Do you like that? Do you like to give the bank money every month? I don't. But this is part one of the payment for sin on earth. Where's part two? Part two is the payment for sin in the lake of fire eternally. You see, sin has to be paid. And my choice today is who will pay for my sin. Who will pay for your sin? It's a decision you can make. And you don't have to wait. You know, one thing we don't do, some churches say, oh, come up front and kneel down. And you know, I'd rather have you come to God. A lot of people come up front, nothing happens because they didn't come to God. So I challenge you to just simply come to the Lord. The Lord is in heaven. The Lord sees your heart on earth. The Lord knows your thoughts. And if you in your heart would receive Jesus as your Savior, then you've chosen His payment. And you're free. And you're free. The day of the Lord will not happen for you. This is a real event. It's coming to earth. And the rest of the message here is we should live like the Lord's coming and not live like the people who are waiting for night.